It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. My brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the Lord is here because we have invited Him to join us and be with us. We don't have to have a lot of money to have the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have a big crowd to have the Holy Ghost. You just have to have a surrendered heart to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, guess what, friends? It's time for us to, and Happy New Week to you. It's time for us to have our opening prayer at this time. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your sustaining power. We thank you, Lord, for being with all of us, myself, my wife, and my mother here in this house throughout the night. We thank you, Lord, for your sustaining power and how you do whatever you do, which is always right and best. We ask that your name be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, it's time now for our opening song. That will be It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for the
Amen. We have an exciting topic, brothers and sisters. The topic is, are you an Antichrist? Are you an Antichrist? Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we study 1 John chapter 5, chapter 4, we pray that you will bless us today and that you will keep us and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this is powerful. I think we should make sure that we are not an Antichrist. The Bible tells us, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, that's very interesting. A false prophet would teach false teaching, but notice he says, try the spirit. So, my brothers and sisters, what it teaches is that if you don't have the right spirit, eventually you will teach some wrong doctrine. Okay, that's very powerful. You don't have the right spirit, you will eventually teach some wrong doctrine. Because if you don't have the right spirit, brothers and sisters, then there's another spirit that is gaining entrance or already is in your life, and he will lead you astray sooner or later. And I have found that the right spirit is a godly spirit, a humble spirit. You see, you have to be humble enough to say, I'm wrong. You have to be humble enough to say, you know what, I taught some things that cannot be substantiated from Scripture, and I want to correct it today. You see, but we don't want to be humble. We don't want to say, I made a mistake, because we think people won't support us. Let me tell you what, you'll gain support, but you don't understand that because you're too proud to understand that. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said God resisteth the proud but giveth graces to the humble, and we will have surprises, many of them, before this work is over, my brothers and sisters. You're going to see humble people come out of the woodwork, and you're going to say, where'd that come from, or who that? How did that person get to where they are? They humbled themselves, and God exalted them. That's how it happened, my friends. It's very simple. It's not hard to understand. It's exactly what the Bible says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Friends, just because somebody preaches well, just because somebody, seems to have success in ministry, you better watch it and make sure that they have the right spirit. And guess what? Don't leave them if they don't. Talk to them. Say, pastor, elder or whatever, evangelist, this is what I noted. Because you're trying to save them. See, that's what it's all about. We forget that we are put here to save each other. And your job is even to save the pastor. That's right, friends. Many pastors, most pastors, are going to hell because they're not teaching the truth. And yet they've taken that grave responsibility of teaching the truth. Okay? All right, let's look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Listen carefully. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So all you have to do is, okay, he came in the flesh. I'm of God. That's not what it means, brothers and sisters. You see, the Bible is a spiritual book. And Jesus let us know about the spirituality of the Bible and of the law when he said, you can say, it's wrong to commit adultery, but I'm telling you, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You can say, Jesus said, it's wrong to kill, but I'm telling you, if you hate your brother, you've already killed him. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something about love and hate. If you don't love, you hate, okay? You won't find in the Bible where, okay, in the Bible, God defines hate as anything opposite of love. And therefore, if you don't practice 1 Corinthians 13, you're a hater. Brothers, if you're gossiping, you're a hater. If you're taking up a reproach, meaning listening to gossip without giving the accused an opportunity to clear themselves, you're a hater. The Bible doesn't give degrees of hate. It just doesn't. It does give degrees of love. Because it talks about how the love can be made perfect, you see. So a lot of people just didn't know, and so they love God. They think they're walking in the way of the Lord, and to their best knowledge they are. Then God has to show them some areas of growth, and therefore their love increases, okay? But there's no divisions of hate. Now, there are people that truly hate and will murder and all that kind of stuff, but the bottom line is the way God looks at it, if you don't show love, brothers and sisters, you're hating your brother. If you don't follow what 1 Corinthians 13 says toward your brothers and sisters, you're a hater, okay? You won't find degrees of hate, friends. You'll find degrees of love, but not of hate, all right, in the Bible. And if you do, please show me, because I will be willing to say I'm sorry. Amen. Verse 3, and every spirit. Oh, so what it means when it says Jesus has come in the flesh, the purpose of him coming in the flesh is to give us victory over sin. You see, so that's why in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, in the Catholic church, and I'm going to say it because it's the truth, in the organized Seventh-day Adventist church, the majority of the preachers are teaching you a lie, and that lie is that Jesus Christ came in the nature of Adam before the fall. That's the nature. That's what it's talking about. And what it's basically saying is, you see, Adam did have advantages over us. He did. Adam didn't have to drive down the highway looking at billboards of naked women. Adam didn't have to drive down the highway looking at pictures of Hennessy or whatever alcohol that they show all in the inner city. Adam didn't have to, they say, when you go over to Germany, there's just nudity is accepted. He didn't have to turn on the TV and have to try to swipe through the channels where the nudity was. At least they don't allow it just on the regular TV. Here it's pretty close, but you know, whatever, and I don't watch that TV. But the point being made is Adam did have an advantage over us, and that advantage was a biblical advantage. It's a godly advantage. God didn't make Adam to be exposed to evil. He doesn't want us to be exposed to evil, my brothers and sisters. And so he had an advantage. Guess what? When Christ came, and we do not understand everything about his nature, but he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He did not come with the nature of Adam before Adam's fall. He came with the nature of Adam after the fall in the sense of the weakness of humanity. But the best way to describe it, brothers and sisters, and I'm not here to give a total theological dissertation, it's as if Jesus was born again. But if you've been born again, ask yourself, does temptation stop? No. Sometimes it gets even worse. But you got power now, okay? So Jesus was tempted in ways that Adam wasn't. All Adam had to do and Eve had to do was stay away from one tree. That's all they had to do. And nothing. And the world wasn't bombarding them, go to the tree, go to the tree. No, it wasn't like that, brothers and sisters. That's why we get out of the city. There's still a lot of temptations in the city. That's why we try to, you know, encourage you to raise your children outside of those influences, all right? But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is Adam had an advantage over us in the sense that he was made in a perfect world with a perfect body, a perfect mind. He did not have any hereditary tendencies to evil. We are born with hereditary tendencies from our parents. Then all around us, we tend to cultivate some of those, okay? Adam didn't have that. Christ did not have I'm not going to say he had inherited tendencies to evil. I am going to say that he was tempted in ways that we are, in ways that Adam wasn't. Okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's the best way to explain it. So what I'm trying to tell you is the reason why that's important is that is the foundation of why you hear Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, and now Seventh-day Adventist preachers, not saying all of them, I'm just saying many of them, teaching that you can't overcome sin. And I'm talking about men in high places. High places. Don't let these fanatics tell you you're going to overcome sin. I mean, they make light of it. They yell. They scream. They joke about eating their chicken and whatever else. And I'm not saying that the Bible teaches that it is a sin to eat chicken. I am simply saying that they have a health message that says that the plant-based diet is a wonderful privilege that they have, a wonderful privilege of promoting the plant-based diet of the Bible, and they can use it as an evangelistic tool because it will help people get through the pandemic without dying. It will help you navigate a disease called cancer without dying. It will help you navigate diseases like diabetes and hypertension without dying. And they have that wonderful privilege, and they claim to have a health message, but they're hypocrites because they won't keep it. So it's those preachers I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. They're teaching. They're learning in the seminary. The foundation is the nature of Christ, the nature of Christ. We don't understand everything about that nature, but they are teaching an error in some of the highest schools in Michigan and in other places, where you have large institutions, okay, Sabbath keeping as well. They're teaching the young men and women in theology that you can't overcome sin because Christ had a different kind of nature that would not allow him to be tempted in ways that we are tempted. Okay? Now, the Bible says different. As I said, you know, the Bible clearly says that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Okay? Colossians, Hebrews 2, I think 2:14, that talks about how he came in our flesh. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, when a person teaches, when it says every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God, then it says that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. You don't have to say the words he came in the flesh or he didn't come in the flesh. It's what you teach. See, the Bible is very spiritual. Again, you can look at a woman in lust, but you might not commit the actual act, but you can look at the woman in lust. The Bible is very spiritual. It goes to the deep parts of your heart, okay? So if you teach and you promote the concept that Christ had an advantage over us and that we can't reach the level of holiness where we are obedient to the Ten Commandments, then you are not of Christ. That's what God is trying to tell us, okay? Because that is why he came in the flesh. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin, not in their sin. 1 John 5:4, we'll get to that tomorrow. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So any teaching that does not promote this victory over sin is teaching, friends, that you are, it's a confession that Christ didn't come in the flesh, okay? Because it's talking about our flesh, meaning that, not that we understand it fully, but he was tempted in every way that we are, but yet he overcame. And his overcoming was not because of any advantage that he had. He had to overcome with the same resources that we have available to us. That's why he had to pray. That's why he had to study. That's why he had to share his faith, because that gives constant victory. It says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So, brothers and sisters, a Jesuit priest, because the Pope is one Antichrist, okay? The word Antichrist is deceptive to a lot of people. Might deceive you, because we think anti-abortion is against abortion. Antichrist, the root in the Greek, it actually means in place of Christ. So the Bible says of the Pope that he sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. You see, the Roman Catholic Church took over the Christian Church, okay? So the Pope is that man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God showing himself that he is God, okay? So he's an Antichrist. He's in place of Christ. And when you teach that you cannot overcome sin, then you give some gospel that's in place of the gospel of Christ. You are Antichrist if you have any teaching that teaches that we can't fully overcome sin, brothers and sisters. You're an Antichrist. I was talking about that Jesuit priest. The Jesuits realized that if the people in Protestantism did not stop believing that the Pope was Antichrist, that their movement would go away. So a Jesuit created this doctrine of a secret rapture. And this doctrine of a secret rapture, brothers and sisters, had a future Antichrist that would come within a 7-year period of tribulation. It does not jive with the Bible. It's not in the Bible, my friend. The secret rapture is not in the Bible. He had to come up with that and during that time put an Antichrist in there so that people stop looking at the Pope as Antichrist. The Pope is Antichrist, and a lot of Protestant preachers are Antichrist, because they're not teaching that you have to obey. And let me tell you why they teach that. Because not that they want to promote adultery, not that they want to promote idolatry, not that they want to promote lying and stealing. They don't want to keep the Sabbath, which is the heart of the Ten Commandments. It's the only commandment that points backward to God as the creator. And if you don't have God as the creator, he can't be your redeemer, because in order for me and you to be saved, we have to have a clean heart. How do you get a clean heart? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. It's a work of creation, my brothers and sisters. And guess what? Ezekiel says it this way, a new heart. If it's new, it's got to be created. It wasn't there before. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. My brothers and my sisters, I am here to tell you that the reason why these preachers are teaching it is because that are not Sabbath keepers is because they don't want to keep the Sabbath. The reason why Sabbath keepers teach it is they don't want to have true godly holiness. They've got worldliness in their lifestyle, brothers and sisters. They openly promote different things, and they want to live and be like the world. They think that if we're like the world, we'll gain the world. So they're interested in numbers rather than character. And so they have to twist the scriptures and belittle the Bible and spirit of prophecy and these types of things. That's what they have to do. We don't have time to talk about the spirit of prophecy, but it's in the Bible. Okay, Revelation 12, 17, Revelation 9, 10, 1 Corinthians 1, 6, and 7. If you have questions about that, contact me and I'll share it with you. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If Christ is in you, you can't sin. You got to ask him to leave first. And that's what we do. Somebody gets on our nerves. We get tempted. Holy Spirit said, don't say it. But we say, Holy Spirit, I just want you to step out of me for a second. And you give that person a piece of your mind. Then you feel bad about it. You say, Lord, please come back. And he often does. But if you keep doing that, he's not going to return one of these days, brothers and sisters. And so my position, what I'm sharing with you, rather, what the Bible teaches, is that you have the Holy Spirit, and therefore Christ through the Holy Spirit in you, and he is greater than that which is in the world. So if he's greater than that which is in the world, he's more stronger in you than the temptation that comes to you, and therefore this verse promises victory. Now, you don't walk around and say, I'm Shalom Flummers, I'm the sinless one. The Bible says don't do that. But you can have victory. You don't boast. That's why it's because it's Christ in you. That's why Paul says, I have nothing to boast. But Paul is the one that said, we have victory. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And therefore, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. All right, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You see, preachers in the Adventist church are worldly often, and that's why wanting to be like the world, they want to lower the standard of Christianity to a more worldly standard, okay? That means they keep a little sin in the camp, so they feel. So they've got to teach that you can't overcome because they're not overcomers. Verse 6, and I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm not picking on any denomination. I already named Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. And guess what? Some people in present truth need this message, brothers and sisters. They're antichrist. Okay? In their own life, they're not showing a humility. Pastors should come close to the people. End of story. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's powerful. You see, because Paul knew, or John knew he was teaching the truth, he could say, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Friends, just know that you're teaching the truth, and ask God for the truth, and therefore, watch this. This is powerful. If people don't want to receive your call, if people don't want to talk to you, and you have the Spirit of God, it shows what spirit they have. Have mercy. I want you all to understand how deep that is. There's many people preaching the truth that are not headed to heaven. Because other people who are in truth, they don't want to have anything to do with them. So they reveal that they have a spirit. Now, God wants to save them. He's not going to let them be lost without them having an opportunity, you see, to be saved. But many people are violating principles of the Bible, and they're not going to be saved, even though they're preaching present truth today. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The Bible is very clear. God is very clear. We are to keep the word and be faithful, but we are to have love for our brethren. And that's lacking in the church. God says, you're not a part of me if you're not loving like this. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Brothers and sisters, if you don't love one another and you don't show that love by coming close to one another, being willing to say, I'm sorry when you're wrong, being willing to repent, being willing to see a brother in error and go after him in love to try to help correct him. Brothers and sisters, what else can I say? The Bible is clear. It says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That's how we know he's in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay? And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Saving from sin, not in sin. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You see, a lot of preachers, they'll just read that one verse and say, see, I'm of God. I confess that Jesus is the Son of God. But they don't understand, what does that mean that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, Jesus being the Son of God had a practical meaning and application for us. We needed a being that is God, who is the Son of God. He is also God. Hebrews 1 says so. It says, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee. So Jesus is God. He just has a God above him, but he is still God. Okay, and so we needed someone who is equal with the law, because the law is holy. God is holy. The law is just. God is just. Everything about God's Ten Commandment law is also an attribute of God. We needed someone equal with the law to come down and pay the penalty and die for our sins, my brothers and sisters. The things that the thoughts you've had, the words you've spoken, the deeds you've done that were not holy, Jesus took all that upon him and took the guilt of it and paid for it with his life, so that you can be saved. But in so doing, he sends us now his Holy Spirit and angelic help that we might overcome, and that's the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption is not pardon only. It's pardon and power and presence. That's justification, sanctification, and glorification. The justification is the part, includes the pardon. The sanctification includes the power. The glorification is when you're in his presence, meaning when you're changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Amen. We look forward to that day, friends. There'll be no more death, sorrow, crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The Bible says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Friends, if we mistreat one another, neglect one another, refuse to speak with one another, keep one another at arm's length, marginalize one another, we're saying we're not of God when we do that. And this commandment have we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Friends, that's 1 John chapter 4. Don't be an antichrist. Don't put anything in place of Christ, and don't you be in place of Christ. Don't have people worshiping you. You're not to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped. And we as preachers are supposed to put people to work in preaching and teaching and giving Bible studies and teaching them how to do medical missionary work. That's our job. May God bless you and keep you today. We're going to go ahead and close out at this time. Father in heaven, thank you very much for teaching us today. Bless us now as we move forward and as we come back together for our health talk to learn the reason why most people stay sick. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, we'll be back with the health message, the reason why most people stay sick. And we're going to now have the torso song as an roughly eight-minute intermission.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, the back. rattle of the boat will be your tattletale when you look at the floor and you can't see your feet. Just knock on our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen, amen. All right, friends, our topic today is the reason why most people stay sick. The reason why most people stay sick. Now, I didn't say we all have, I mean, everybody's got something that's not perfect. This is not a perfect body. We don't have perfect bodies. We don't have to be as sick as we are, but let's say we are. Let's say we didn't always eat right, didn't always drink water, eat a plant-based diet, didn't always drink water. What if we didn't always get exercise? Why do we stay sick? I want you to think about two words, neglect and reject. Friends, it's real simple. We either reject the light of truth on the point of health reform, or we neglect the light of truth on the point of health reform. That's why we stay sick. So if you don't reject the truth, and that means you accept it, and when you accept it, you actually start doing something about it, God heals, brothers and sisters. And it says in Psalm 17, I believe, verse 20, he said his word and healed them. You see, when you believe what God has said, then every, and what one is one thing God has said, and every, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed and every fruit tree bearing fruit to you, it shall be for meat. That's what God said in Genesis 1:29. That means your food should be plant-based. That's what God said, okay? That's what he gave us to eat. So when you accept his word, you do some things about it. You can also read biblical principles such as in the story of the lepers. The Bible says in the story of the lepers, they were healed. They, it uses three words. They were healed. I can't think of the third word, but one of them is cleansed, okay? The lepers were cleansed. So you have to cleanse your body. See, we understand that disease is an effort of your body to get rid of the toxins and to reestablish right condition. That is not something you'll learn in medical school. They don't teach it. They don't know it. It is divinely rendered to God's people, this definition, that disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. That's written in a book called Ministry of Healing, but it's biblical, friends. And so that effort gets rid of toxins. So you got to work through fasting and cleansing of the vital organs, the colon, liver, kidney, skin, lungs, blood, lymph, organs and systems. We call them seven channels of elimination to get rid of those toxins and then give your body what it needs so you can reestablish right conditions in the system. When you do this, friends, your body will respond and God will be safe in pouring out his healing power upon you because it's you're trying to get into the kingdom of heaven. You see, when you follow Benny Hinn and that kind of thing, you don't have to develop any character. You just got to go. You can leave the cigarettes at the door or put them in your pocket, get slain in the spirit, you know, and supposedly you're healed. You didn't have to stop smoking. You didn't have to stop drinking. You didn't have to stop doing those things. You just got slain in the spirit. Well, guess what? You're not going to make it into heaven if you don't have the character of Christ. So God's health plan helps you to develop character because you have to resist temptation, and you have to overcome, and you have that motivation because you want to be well, but God will be there right there with you to help you. So, friends, the reason why we're sick is that we neglect health reform or we reject health reform, and you cannot reject it but neglect it. You've got to do it. You can't just know it's right and acknowledge that it's right. The Bible said the devils also believe and tremble, okay? They don't obey, but they believe. The devil knows what truth is. He believes the truth, but he wants you to believe a lie. Okay, so I'm here to tell you that God wants to heal you. You can be healed. You've got to not, you stop rejecting and neglecting the health message. Let's get involved. Let's do it. Let's change our lifestyles and our diets. Let's drink more water. Let's follow the live free lifestyle. Love God, include temperance, vital water, eat healthy, fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoy sunlight. Friends, this will help you get healthier in this life by the grace of God. God is the only healer, and we know that he will bless us. Okay, friends, it's time now for us to open the phone line. I don't see anyone on Facebook. If they are, they're not showing me that they are, so we're going to the phone, and we have representation from Ohio, from Maryland, from Delaware, Delaware, Delaware again, and I like to say Delaware is well aware. Amen. We have Ohio again. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. And we're your servants here in Pennsylvania. Sister Maria sends her regards to you all this morning. Phone lines are open. If there's anyone that wants to share anything, Mom's listening to the broadcast this morning. I've turned it on. She was able to speak with me this morning, and she had a nice smile on her face this morning. And so we praise God for that. And we just leave it, things in the Lord's hands. He's a sustainer. He's a redeemer. He's a what we just don't have enough positive things to say about our great Lord and Savior. That being said, phone lines are open. If anyone wants to share anything, please feel free to press *6 and share. We have 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Want to mention, friends, if you need us, call us. If you have a problem, need help, need some counsel, need some advice on how to improve your health, please reach out to us, call us, text us. If you don't get a response, call again, text again. And for me, texting is a little faster than WhatsApp. I know I have many of you on the WhatsApp, but because I send so much via WhatsApp, some people are just saying amen to messages I send, so I'm not as apt to see it quickly. So definitely send a text message. I'm trying to get better on email, pastor@torsoe.org, torso being TORSOE.org. But anyway, God is good. That being said, is there anyone that wants to share anything this morning? All right, my friends, God is good. We'll just go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for blessing us on today. Thank you. I believe this is the last day of April, I have to check that, but the bottom line is God is good. We thank you for bringing us to this time, this hour. We ask that you would be with us, Father, that your name will be glorified in our lives, and that you will bless your people as only you can and as only you know how to do. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies, kindness, and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, God is good. We're going to, at this time, have our closing song. We will have our final salutation, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us. Now, Andre Bell. God bless you.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord, I will walk with the Lord, I will walk.